Welcome to the London Walks podcast. This episode, Football London, presented by Andy Hallett and Adam Scott Goulding.
And this one is London Sports.
I'm going to do a bit of football.
In the aftermath of...
the FA Cup final, the winners, of course, Arsenal. Drought of nine years. Finally!
A famine.
The Gunners.
And you have a particular vested interest in this as an Arsenal supporter.
I'm a Gunner, and I'm a big fan of Le Professeur, of course, of Wenger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. You know, he speaks five languages, a bit of Japanese as well.
Okay.
As well as being a great football manager. Class act. He's a class act.
Quite so, quite so. And is he not currently the longest serving manager in the Premiership at the moment?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. Now, you're going to ask me, you're hoping that I'm going to say, tell you how many years he's been going. And of course, I don't know.
I think in terms of how many minutes, I think he's a long serving manager these days in the Premiership, given that a number of, well, certainly Tottenham Hotspur's manager has been fired in the close season here, and Fulham's manager also in South West London.
More than a couple of months, do they?
Yeah, so that for him crazy. To have been in the job for, you know, more than 10 years, is
yeah,
he?
Yeah, that's what I love about kind of Wenger. Actually, is he kind of changed the whole philosophy, didn't he? That was the great thing. He used to be boring Arsenal, and now he's known for some of the most exciting football in the Premiership, you know, and have done for years and years and years. So he's got the freedom of Islington.
Islington. Imagine such a thing. And was that granted this weekend in lieu of the Cup?
It was a couple of years ago. Oh, okay. Years ago. Okay. Yeah, long standing.
So he didn't have to wear anything to get the freedom of Islington.
And I think he was the World Coach of the Decade, 2010.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, a couple of kind of stuff.
Very good. He's cycling proficiency certificate as well. He's a much garlanded man.
So who do you pledge your support with as a Scotsman in London?
Of 23 years standing, and I'm now based in North London, so I'm a Tottenham Hotspur supporter.
Oh, what?
Glory, glory, no. Tottenham Hotspur.
That's the worst thing you could say to me.
Yes, I think, are we going to fall out in this podcast? I think we are. We're going to live fisticuffs.
Okay, so I'm here with Bill Edgar, who's a football writer for the Times newspaper. He's the knowledge. He knows more about football than anybody else in the game. And I'm going to be testing him on London football clubs. So I'm going to do about 10 questions. And hopefully, I think you'll find them easy. He may not. It'll be great to catch him out. And if we do, then we've really kind of put one over. We scored a goal. How many football sides do we have, professional sides do we have, Bill?
Well, we've got 13 London clubs in the league, which is...
Can you mention all of them?
I can. I'm just going around, looking around England. No other town or city has more than two. So it shows that London is a hotbed of football. So in the north, you've got Arsenal and Tottenham.
Yep.
Then East London, West Ham is the main club, and then the two much smaller teams, Leyton Orient and Dagenham and Redbridge. Then in the south, four clubs, Crystal Palace, Charlton Athletic, Millwall and AFC Wimbledon. And then finally in the west, you've got Chelsea, Fulham, Queen's Park Rangers and Brentford.
Brilliant, got them. And what's the oldest club?
Oldest, that's an interesting one. Tottenham would go back to, I think they moved into White Hart Lane in 1895, so they would be close to being...
I've got Tottenham at 1882.
Okay. Oh, right. Well, they would have moved. They would have played at various other grounds before they moved to White Hart Lane. But
yeah. I've got Fulham 1879.
Apparently.
Okay. I didn't know was there was a Woolwich Arsenal. So originally Woolwich Arsenal, and then they moved from Woolwich to Highbury.
Yes, they played. Yeah. Were established in Woolwich, where they made the Guns, hence their nickname, the Gunners.
Right.
And then they decided to move to North London because they thought they could just. They'd get more support up that way, and it annoyed Tottenham because they were encroaching on their patch. But the two have managed to live together about 4 miles apart, and it's been a great rivalry.
And who's been the most successful London club, would you say, out of those? And teams in terms of honours and trophies, and in Europe as well?
Yeah, well, it would have to be Arsenal. They've won the most league titles of London clubs. That's by the main measure.
How many FA Cups?
They've just joined level with Manchester United. Is it 11?
40 altogether.
40 altogether, yeah, including all the kind of Charity Shield, Community Shield, tournaments like that, yes.
Chelsea, 26, Tottenham, 24, yeah. West Ham, 6. I don't okay. know, I'm kind of hoping.
Yeah, West Ham. I mean, Chelsea, certainly in the last 10 years, they've been the main London yeah. club. They won 11 trophies in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And while Arsenal have struggled a bit, they've just won the FA Cup the first in 9 years.
9 years. The drought. Largest stadiums. Now, you can tour these stadiums, actually. All the big clubs, you can tour them, can't you? Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't be saying this, but if you're not going to yeah. do a London walk, then maybe, if you're a big football fan, you should go on a tour of the Emirates. The Emirates is beautiful. It's like a hotel or something. But it has just over 60,000. But what's the second?
Well, the biggest football stadium is Wembley, the new yeah. Wembley. That's 90,000. And then, but yes, Arsenal's biggest club stadium. After that, in London, let me think. Tottenham has got about 35,000, yep. West Ham 34,000, yep. But Chelsea is around 41,000,
yes.
And I think that must be the second.
Longest serving manager, that's an easy one.
Yeah, in London, that's Arsene Wenger, who arrived in September 1996.
18 years.
Yeah.
The second one, now I did tip you off on this one, so you might know this now.
You did mention Russell Slade at Leyton Orient. He's been doing very well at Leyton Orient on a very small budget in League One this season.
He's been there 4 years. What's the average life expectancy of a Premiership manager?
Well, generally, over the last, say...
that's over the whole six, thing.
Yeah, going back, I mean, about 2 years is roughly, which is, whereas in the league as a whole, it's less. It's more like, say, a year and a quarter, year and a half. Although over the past 12 months, there's been a real cull in the Premier League.
Yeah.
And whether it's because owners are feeling greater pressure because suddenly there's an enormous rise in income, and if you drop out of the Premier League, your revenue drops dramatically. But there were 10 Premier League managers who left their jobs during last season, which was, I think, at least two more than any other season since the Premier League started in 1992.
So Chelsea, they've changed, what, since 2004, 10 times or twice, Mourinho?
They've constantly changed. I mean, they've changed so often you don't even know if they're... I mean, they're either called permanent managers or temporary managers, but in effect, they are all temporary managers.
Yeah.
I mean, Rafael Benitez was a temporary manager,
yeah.
and so was Gus Hiddink, and they both won a trophy. Roberto Di Matteo, Luis Felipe Scolari.
Roberto won the UEFA European Champions League, didn't he?
Yeah, and Avram Grant was there, got them second place in three tournaments. Andre Villas-Boas as well. It's just a constant
turnover. Yeah. What's the most expensive player sold from a London side? Who is that?
Well, that's an easy one because it's the most expensive player sold anywhere ever. Because it's Gareth Bale for £85 million from Tottenham to Real Madrid last summer.
Okay. And Ronaldo went for 80,000, didn't he?
Yeah, £80 million from Manchester United to Real Madrid in 2009. Yeah.
Right, 80,000 is just his day rate. who was the most expensive player bought by London side? And what was the side and who was the player?
Yes, must be Fernando Torres. Chelsea paid Liverpool £50 million for him, and perhaps they've got about £5 million of value so far. They're still waiting for the rest.
Yeah, that hasn't quite worked out, really, has it?
No, huge difference.
Huge mistake.
I mean, arguably the worst value of any transfer in history. I mean, just been a... Given how good he was the best striker in Europe for a time, and then he fell away in the last year at Liverpool. Chelsea got him anyway.
So would he been worth the 50 million? Would he been worth the £50 million?
Probably £50 million. Yes, at his best, certainly.
But
he's just taken up a position that, you know, somebody else should have done much better for Chelsea.
Andy will be back with more London football trivia in part two. In the meantime, here's Adam on London football songs.
The lyric of the song we've just heard, Blue is the Colour, is clearly of a bygone age. A football song with no battle metaphors or aggressive triumphalism. The spirit of fair play and playing for the sake of the game is alive and well in these lines. The sound of this bygone age oompa beat ditty filling a 21st century stadium sounds like something of an anachronism to the untrained ear. A relic of the music hall era lost in a state-of-the-art sporting arena. In fairness, the trained ear would also have ample excuse to reach for the cotton wool plugs. Blue is the Colour is hardly a musical classic. This deeply uncool song stubbornly remains the more or less official song of Chelsea Football Club, despite the club's long-standing image as the favourite of the fashionable fancy dance and sophisticated media types of the capital. There is an equally popular Chelsea sing-along, the narrative of which deals with an act of physical intimacy involving the use of celery. Given that the London Walks podcast is intended for all the family, I am compelled to draw a veil over the whole affair. The song is also popular in Canada with fans of Canadian football team Saskatchewan Roughriders, who render it as green is the colour. Meanwhile, over in Vancouver, acolytes of the Whitecaps soccer team sing it as white is the colour. Blue is back in the picture over in Norway, as fans of Molde FK also sing the song. The recording of the song made the charts in 1972 here in the UK, released on Penny Farthing Records. It features the entire Chelsea squad of the day on what we could loosely term as lead vocals. They recorded the track ahead of their appearance in the League Cup final of that year, which they then lost to Stoke City. The song is credited to one Daniel Boone and Rod McQueen. Mr. Boone went on to have worldwide chart success in 1972 with his song Beautiful Sunday. Over in East London, West Ham United have an anthem even older than that of Chelsea. In the version here, I've stripped the song right down to its bare basics so that we can hear its origins in Broadway and vaudeville. The song is I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles.
I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Then just like my dreams, they fade and die. Fortune's always hiding. I've looked everywhere. So I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air.
Now, you're seldom going to hear I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles as a waltz down at Upton Park, where West Ham play their home matches. But it reminds us where the tune comes from the music hall, or the vaudeville, as they call it in the United States. A waltz, not dissimilar in tone to the tune that's regarded as the first of all the hit songs after the ball is over from the late 19th century. Lyrically speaking, I'm particularly fond of the couplet, "Fortune's always hiding, I've looked everywhere." This would seem to typify the experience of supporting the great West Ham United down through the years. Three times FA Cup winners, but never champions of England. In that respect, fortune really does seem to be hiding for the great West Ham.
Fortune's always hiding, I've looked everywhere, so I'm forever blowing bubbles.
I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles is a relic of the old custom of community singing at football matches. Formal, organised sing-alongs before kick-off. The fingerprints of this era can still be seen right across the land. At Birmingham City, for example, the fans sing Sir Harry Lauder's Keep Right On to the End of the Road. At Bristol Rovers, the old Leadbelly tune Goodnight Irene is the favourite to this day. West Ham's love of I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles dates back to the 1920s. The song was first used in the world of sport in the country of its origin, the United States. It was the big hit of The Passing Show of 1918 on Broadway. And just a year later, during the World Series scandal of 1919, the so-called Black Sox affair, it was pressed into service with its lyric amended for satirical purposes to "I'm Forever Blowing Ball Games." In 1980, the punk band Cockney Rejects recorded a version. It reached number 35 in the UK charts. West Ham went on that year to win the FA Cup.
The London Walks podcast was compiled, produced and presented by Andy Hallett and Adam Scott Goulding. For details of the full programme of London Walks, London's best guided walking tours, go to www.walks.com. The London Walks podcast was an APB production.